On Tuesday's front page, President Obama made a surprise announcement in India.
We welcome India as it prepares to take its seat on the United Nations Security Council.
A jury voted for the death penalty in a fatal Connecticut home invasion. And a company in Florida that finds foreclosed homes for poor families to move into. Florida officials say there's a big problem. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story looks at why President Obama endorsed India's bid for a permanent place on the UN Security Council. He's signaling he wants a closer partnership to hold off China's influence. Times reporter Jim Yardley says the president got high marks from the Indian political establishment.
I think India wasn't quite certain what to make of Mr. Obama. They had a very warm relationship with George W. Bush because he pushed through a civilian nuclear agreement. One of the things they were waiting for was some sort of statement about Pakistan and terror, and he gave it in his address to the Indian Parliament, in which he said Pakistan had to do something about, quote, safe havens for terror groups. He also said that Pakistan needed to bring justice to those who carried out the Mumbai terror attacks in November 2008. Both of these things were very important for India to hear, and so I think the political establishment was very pleased by that.
Pakistan responded by criticizing the president's announcement, saying he was playing power politics without a moral basis. At the far left side of page one, the midterm elections have thrown repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law into uncertainty. Time is running out for the Senate to end the ban, and strong objections remain among Republicans. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said for the first time he'd like to see the Senate authorize the repeal before the end of the year. A not-yet-released Pentagon survey shows a majority of active-duty forces don't care if gay men and women serve openly. Also on Tuesday's front page, a Connecticut jury voted to impose the death penalty on a habitual criminal who joined in a fatal home invasion. The family had been through an ordeal that ended as flames tore through their house with the two daughters still alive, strapped to their beds. Their mother had already been strangled. The verdict came on the fourth day of deliberations. Only one person has been executed in Connecticut since 1960. A company called Save Florida Homes and owner Mark Garrett have found foreclosed houses for a number of needy tenants. There's just one problem. Garrett doesn't own the homes. He's counting on a 19th century law that says the properties will be his in 7 years if the owners don't claim them. The authorities say he's a crook. He's facing fraud charges. The case could determine whether picking up the taxes on an abandoned house and doing the repairs are enough to lead to ownership. Tuesday's front page also looks at the HD phenomenon in the arts, high-definition broadcasts of operas and ballets shown in movie theaters. This is already affecting programming decisions and even ticket prices. Now orchestras are jumping on the HD bandwagon. The Los Angeles Philharmonic plans to beam live orchestra performances conducted by music director Gustavo Dudamel to 450 theaters. Inside Tuesday's Times, General David Petraeus is moving to add local police to the coalition forces in southern Afghanistan. The goal is to hold on to areas that have been cleared of Taliban insurgents. The military says clearing them out often proves easier than keeping them out. But the Afghan police have a reputation for poor discipline and corruption, along with drug abuse. In the past, they've been easy prey for the Taliban. Separately, the Afghan government dropped the charges in a corruption case against an aide to President Hamid Karzai. Karzai had intervened to have Mohammad Zia Salehi released from prison. It turned out Salehi had worked for the CIA. The Connecticut governor's race is finally over. Republican Thomas Foley conceded. That makes Daniel Malloy the governor-elect. Foley said he remained concerned about problems with voting in Bridgeport, but he didn't see how he could close a gap of about 6,000 votes. The lead investigator for the presidential panel looking into the BP oil spill says he's found no evidence anyone involved in drilling the doomed well took safety shortcuts to save money. Investigator Fred Bartlett disputed findings from other investigators who've accused BP of cutting corners before the well exploded in April. It's been 6 months since the Dow Jones Industrials plunged 700 points in what became known as a flash crash. Tuesday's Business Day section says similar dips have occurred with alarming frequency in dozens of individual stocks. Some analysts say these mini flash crashes are another sign a big one is possible. A report traced the main trigger of the one in May to a poorly timed trade by a mutual fund in Kansas. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.